I invite your attention to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, in the portion that Brother Ken read to us this morning, from verses 1 to 11. And I would ask that we just bow for a moment in prayer. Father, may my words and our thoughts bring honor and majesty to your name, we pray. Amen. It was Tuesday night in Bethany, outside the city of Jerusalem, during Passion Week, the week in which the Lord Jesus died. The city of Jerusalem was crowded with people. They'd come from all over the world. It was Passover time. And as they'd come from all over the world, many of them had come to see this Jesus of Nazareth. He was a feature attraction in the city. They had heard much about him, and much of what they heard was controversial. They heard that he spoke with authority as of God, and others were saying that he's really not what he says he is, that he is one who comes with false doctrine. So they sought to find out from themselves. On the Tuesday evening, they were in Bethany, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, along with the Savior. They were in Bethany. Bethany was 5 miles just south of the city of Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, I don't know, and we're not told in the scripture, but I rather think that Jesus went to Bethany maybe every night of Passover week. But at any rate, he was there on Tuesday night, and he was the guest of honor. And they were at the home of a man whose name was Simon, the leper. He'd been a leprous man, no doubt appreciative of the healing that he experienced. The fact is that Jesus was the guest of honor. And we don't know what the guest list really consisted of, but we do know that the disciples were there, and particularly Judas was there. And we do know that Martha was there, who was the sister of Lazarus, who had been recently raised from the dead. And we know that Mary, another sister, was there. And these are the principals, and we can see around this dinner table, rather interesting to us, it was somewhat like a banquet table, much lower than our banquet tables, but the food was there. And the food had been arranged by Martha. She was the dietitian, she was the maitre d', she was the one who had prepared for the banquet in the house of Simon the leper. And as they were gathered around this table, how many we are not sure, as they were gathered around this table, rather reclining at the table, if we ate the way they did in those days, I think people would think that we were not very courteous or not very polite in the way we were eating, because they actually leaned over and seemed to rest on their elbows while they were eating. I don't know that that's particularly comfortable. I don't know that you can get as much food in that way. But at any rate, they were reclining at the table, and while they were reclining at the table, don't know what the conversation was, but the conversation changed because Mary came into the room among all of these men, and she came with a bottle of perfume. And it was very expensive perfume. And without further notice, she broke the bottle and poured it over the head of the Lord Jesus. And it descended to his feet. And the other corroborating scriptures tell us that she wiped his feet with her hair. And here's a scene that arouses great interest. As a matter of fact, it isn't only curiosity, but we find that there's controversy on the scene. There are different perspectives of what is happening at that dinner time. And the perspective of Judas, John tells us, Judas was the initiator of the criticism that took place. And Judas, along with others, how many we're not sure, said, "What is she doing this for? This is terrible. Why don't you rebuke her?" Speaking to Jesus. "This is a waste of money. We could have sold that perfume and given the money to the poor, and certainly it would have been more profitable." They saw the whole matter from a materialistic point of view, and they said, "This is absolutely wasteful." And imagine Mary's thoughts concerning it. Her perspective was not that it was wasteful. She thought that this, in her mind, was doing the thing that God would have her to do as an expression of her love toward the Lord Jesus. She didn't think it was wasteful. It was expensive. It was exquisite. It was very important to her, but to think that it was wasteful, was not in her mind at all. She thought this was something that she could express her love to the Savior for. And then, in the midst of this, the Lord Jesus declares, "Indeed, my perspective is that it is not wasteful." As indeed he says here to those who were critical of her, "Stop it. Stop your criticism. No more of this. No more of this." And he said, "She has done a beautiful thing to me. She has done a beautiful thing to me." And that was the end of the conversation. Even though these men may have thought that it was wasteful, the Lord Jesus said it's really worshipful. And I know beyond the material, beyond the exterior, I know what is in her heart, and I can see and recognize that this expression of the pouring of perfume on my body, even though it seems rather a strange thing to do, is the expression of a heart that is warm toward me, and it is an expression of pure worship. And the Lord Jesus commended Mary for what she had done. And you know, this whole episode, this interesting experience that took place in Bethany, answers a few questions that we have today. Questions that are really quite appropriate for our beginning a new season of ministry in our church. The question of, what really matters about our service? What really matters? How do we judge as to whether our service is acceptable or not? And another question that is answered by this is, what is our Christian service anyway? And each of us are thinking about service. We're talking to you about the needs that we have together as a family to serve. So the first question that is put is, how do we judge whether our service is profitable or whether it's wasteful? How do we really understand? And if we have the perspective of Judas and the other disciples who were there, we'll see that our church is going to be gauged, and its worth and its value and what we do in this fall season is going to be gauged on the bottom line in regard to dollars and cents. Are we able to meet the budget? And that becomes very important. And it's important that we give to meet budget, because the budget has been presented basically indicating the needs that we have to function, the needs that missionaries have, the needs that will help us to do the work of the Lord Jesus efficiently without having to find ourselves cutting back. We can do this. This is the budget. And so we give toward meeting a budget. And we think if the budget is met, that really is the basic indication that we are successful. Most churches think that's a pretty good sign. An outward indication, and there isn't anything wrong with it, incidentally. And then sometimes I noticed that Eric was standing at the back a moment ago counting the number of people that are here. And sometimes I ask him, or he lets me know how many are here. And in the summer, it was most encouraging to think that the summertime congregations held up wonderfully well. And I was encouraged. And when we have people here and see these pews filled, instead of looking at a lumber yard, we look at people, we recognize this is an indication of success. This is a measure of our being a church that is really functioning well, and we're going to be gauged as a church that is really flourishing. The numbers of people that we have, the number of people that we have in our programs, it's all very interesting and it's all very helpful. But this is the perspective of the majority. We look and see what we have and think we can gauge it on this basis. But you know, the perspective that the Lord Jesus had for that meal was a different perspective entirely. He was looking upon the heart of Mary. And these men didn't see the heart of Mary. All they could do was smell the beautiful perfume and see the bottle broken and recognize that this was wasteful. But the Lord Jesus sees beyond the numbers. He sees beyond the budget being met. He sees beyond the facility that we have, beautiful as it is. He sees beyond all of this and understands the thoughts and the intents of our hearts and our minds. Understands who we are doing it for and what we are doing. And it's his evaluation that really matters. And the Lord Jesus said, as he indicted those who were agreeing with Judas that this was wasteful, the Lord Jesus said, "I want you to know that I perceive that Mary is doing that which is most worshipful." And when we continue in our ministry to worship, to express our love toward him in what we do, and he says of us, You have done a beautiful thing to me. Then we can say that it really does matter. And when we are doing this, incidentally, it may not attract the throngs of people. It may not attract great sources of income. I think it can, and think it will maybe happen. But it doesn't matter. God will meet those needs. But what matters is how are our hearts in relation to the Lord as we come together to serve Him. And if our hearts are right and we come to say, Lord, I've come to express my love to you, and Mary did this as an expression of her love, it's what he thinks that really matters. It's what he thinks. And you know, the world will look at us and say, you know, they're wasting a lot of time in church. They could be elsewhere this morning. They're wasting a lot of time coming to prayer meeting. They're wasting a lot of time being in Sunday school. They're wasting a lot of time studying the Bible. Doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter what's going to result in our community because these people come together and mark a missionary church. But the world will have the wrong perspective of what's really happening. And what matters is what the Lord Jesus says to us. And he says to us that the Father seeks us to worship him. So what we do for him as we are together in our service is that which really matters. And the second question, what is Christian service, is answered here as well. Mary took this perfume, and it was very exquisite. It was worth a year's wages. Just imagine. Perfume is expensive. I know that. I like perfume. I like my wife wearing perfume. And I don't mind wearing cologne myself. I think I may have told you this one time. There was a preacher in London. His name was Jim McGinley. Years ago, he established Central Baptist Church in London, and he was a Scotchman. But he was absolutely undiplomatic. He said all of the wrong things, and he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. And a lady came to him one time and said, Pastor, she sniffed as she was closer to him and said, you're wearing perfume. And he said, as he came close to her, you're not. Well, perfume is lovely, and it's very exquisite. And we could talk about perfume, but the perfume in itself was only an expression of the heart of this woman. The heart of the woman, and she was directed of the Holy Spirit to do this, as the subsequent portion tells us. She was directed of God's Spirit because she was really anointing the body of Jesus. She wasn't aware that she was anointing his body, but he said, she's anointing my body for the burial. And as she did this, she took this perfume, she was really opening her heart and saying, as the perfume is poured on you, it's an indication of my life being poured out upon you. And Jesus said, she has done a beautiful thing to me, or on me. And I would like you to see in Colossians chapter 3, in the portion that Lloyd Weidman is going to be teaching in the Bible class commencing next week. In verse 23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Dear friends, we're to do whatever we do as to the Lord. We're to do it as though he was standing here. He lives in us by his Spirit. And what we do, whether we're attending the nursery, whether we're ushering, whether we're playing an instrument, whether we're preaching, whether we're singing, whatever we're doing, we're not doing it for performance. We're not seeking to do it for performance. This is not Roy Thompson Hall. We are here for ministry, that we might serve him, and that he might know our hearts are right with him, and it's the expression of my heart that leads me to preach as I do. And I pray, even with all of my inconsistencies and irregularities and idiosyncrasies, that you may recognize that I really desire to honor the Lord Jesus in what I do. And I pray that each of us, in whatever we do, would say, Lord, I do this as unto you, and it will change the whole texture of our service. So that when people may criticize us, not like the tone of our voice, or not like our doing something particular, and they become critical of us, we don't allow that to really cause us to desert the cause or to leave the situation. But we say, Lord, I'm doing it for you, and these people don't understand. Imagine how Mary felt when she heard the criticism. She must have wished that there could be a hole in the floor and she could go through it. But she recognized, "Lord, please, I'm doing it for you." And he honored her by saying, stop it, men. She's done a beautiful thing to me. And I say to you, we always need to remember, whether we're serving on a missions committee, whether we're serving on the finance committee, whether we're serving whatever it is in this situation together, that we're doing it as unto the Lord Jesus. And it's not wasted time, it's invested time. And we're doing it to say to him, Lord, I love you. Even when I'm dealing with these children that are crying and giving me all kinds of difficulty, I love you and I'm doing it for you because it's necessary. Their mothers may hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And there were three things that Mary did. And very briefly, I'd like to share them with you. And those three things that are indicated to us are right here in the statement of the Lord Jesus. And he said to her, he said to the disciples, she did what she could. Verse 8, she poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. There are three things that we can learn about what she did. Two of them I don't think she really understood. She was doing more than she realized. The first thing, she did what she could. She did what she could. I constantly come to this verse of Scripture and realize that God speaks through it to my heart. Do what you can. Do what you can. I'm not going to bother picking that up. I can do it, but I'm not going to. Do what you can. And you say, well, I can't preach, and I can't sing. There are a lot of things we can't do, but God's given us, each of us who are Christians here this morning, something we can do. Something we can do. I recall, and I've shared it before, a lady who was seriously crippled in Victoria, and she couldn't do very much. But I remember Dorothy, and she used to write letters to people. Someone encouraged her to write letters. She had a legible hand, and she wrote letters to missionaries, and she told them about what was happening at home. And she simply wrote letters to people and sent them. And that was her ministry. And she wrote letters to me and wrote letters to friends of mine. And these were letters that came in the mail but encouraged us in God's wise economy at the most important times. All she could do was write letters. But she did it. And I really believe she's in heaven now, and I really believe that the Lord is saying, Mary, you did a beautiful thing for me. We may not be able to do much, but let us do what we can. Do what you can, and don't let Satan or anyone else intimidate you into thinking, I can't do anything. I can't look after those kids in the nursery. I can't help in the Awana program with the memory work. I can't drive my car. I can't. Yes, you can. By the grace of God, we can. And maybe you can't even leave your home, but there are things to do. You can use a telephone. We can together. And the Lord put us together so that we can be a body under the headship of Christ that will penetrate this community. And we're here with a responsibility and a glorious privilege. We can. Do what you can. The second thing that Mary hardly realized was that she did everything she could. She broke that bottle and poured it on the Lord Jesus. And I've used the illustration before of an atomizer on a perfume bottle. You know, it's rather wise to have the atomizer so that you don't pour the whole thing. You know, the perfume flooded that room, we're told in corroborating Scripture. The room was saturated with that glorious, glorious perfume. The fragrance was almost overcoming. She broke the whole bottle and poured it on the Lord Jesus, and from the top of his head to his feet, he was covered with perfume. She did it all. And I think that speaks to us of our desire to please him by giving him all. You say, well, there are some things in my life that are a little more important I have to keep for myself, you know. I need to have certain days to myself that the Lord will understand. I don't care whether it's a holiday or whether it's a working day. I don't care whether it's a Monday or a Sunday. We need to give the Lord everything we have all the time. And we'll find that our lives are so short that we aren't getting enough time. I look back on my life of 54 years of preaching and I say, Lord, where's the time gone? Where's the time gone? And I haven't learned very much. And I'm not really as efficient as I need to be. Lord, help me that I might somehow be more efficient for you. Take what I have and there isn't much left. I say to you, do all we can. And the Lord Jesus is honored with it all. Don't let anything come before the Lord Jesus. Nothing. Not family. You say, oh, wait a minute. There's a lot of responsibility to family. If you honor the Lord Jesus first, you're going to find that he'll help you with the family. And the whole chain of command will come into a consistent situation if he is first. And you allow him to be first in every situation. And I'm not going to go further because I'm talking to myself. The other thing is this, that the Lord Jesus said to Mary, Mary, you've done it at the right time. Whether you know it or not, you're anointing my body for the burial. And when they come out on resurrection morning to anoint my body, I'm not going to be there. And that's true. We read that in Mark 16. They went out with the embalming fluids and all of the things to anoint his body. And he was not there. He was raised from the dead. But she had anointed his body on time. If she had waited till the next day or the next occasion, she would have been too late. So I say we do what we can. Do all that we can and do it now. Do it now. Don't wait for a better season. Winter's coming. Don't wait for a better season. There isn't a better season than right now. To give your heart to Christ. To give your abilities to Christ. And to say, Lord, I am ready now. I don't know what the consequences may be, but I do it now. I know it's expensive. I know it's going to cost me time. I know it's going to be, and I don't know how my schedule is going to work, but I'll do this now and I'll commit myself to you. And I'll commit myself to this responsibility for you. And I'll do it now. Dear friends, I can't say anything more than what I've said. And I am saying it to my own heart. With the few years that God has given to me, or left, if there are that many, I say to him, Lord, have it now. Now. May he help us.